Plain sight, Jeremy from Kentucky, on your Friday night broadcast on the Public Broadcasting Network, honoring the memory of a true American patriot, John Stadtmiller. And I want to start off the show. We have Patrick Slattery. Patrick, let me introduce you and get you in here. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Jeremy.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. And I want to start off the show with some scripture and a prayer, and then we'll get on to memories of John. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 15. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. These are all things we experience in our lives as humans. And John Stadtmiller knew these experiences very well. I want to share one more scripture from 1 Corinthians 15, 9. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 57. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this incorruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, death is not permanent. This body will fade, and our souls are eternal. And we'll put on immortality through the Lord Jesus. And I want to have a prayer to go out to John's family and to the people at RBN. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. You're holy and separate and above all creation. And we're here to honor your servant, John Stadtmiller, whom you have called into eternity. And we pray that you would bless the work of his hands, the great work that he's done these many decades as a true American patriot and as a man who truly valued your Christian principles. And Father, we pray that you would bless his family and those at RBN, you would bless their lives, and that this work would continue. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Patrick, thank you for coming on the show, and you have some memories of John, and I have a call. I sent that to Mike. I hope you got that, Mike, that we want to play here in a minute. John called into my show on his way to January 6th protest. But let me kick it to you, Patrick, for a minute to give us some of your earliest memories of John.
Well, I first spoke to him when I'd gotten a call, or perhaps I'd missed a call. I'd gotten word that he wanted to talk to me. I called his number. It wound up being his personal phone number, and I wound up calling during his show. I said, "Why are you calling me during my show?" Then I called him at a more appropriate time, and he offered me the 1 hour. I don't know if he offered me 1 hour. He eventually offered me a second hour, which I couldn't take. But the thing that I remember is he said, you can talk about anything you want. You can just say whatever you want. And he never, ever, ever. Well, okay, I won't say never, ever. The one time I played a clip of Snoop Diggity Dogg, and he was like something on TV, and he was you know, dropping M-bombs and F-bombs all over the place. I did hear about that. I heard about that.
But I remember that. I thought I was hearing your show, and I'm like, is this TRS? What's going on?
Well, what I did though is like I reworked that clip a day or two later. And every time Snoop Diggity Dogg said the N-bomb, I just inserted over it colored gentleman. And the F-bomb, I think I put heck over that word. And it came out all right, and then everybody was happy. Everybody was happy.
I think you were exposing like the hypocrisy of the, I guess, the African-American community and how they just have this vulgar music. I believe that's what the...
I don't even remember. Really don't remember. But otherwise, I mean, he said, just, you can say anything you want. And I've said all sorts of things. I've said all sorts of things that people out there in the, well, all sorts of things that get you in trouble in the mainstream. I've said a lot of things that, you know, don't necessarily agree with the opinions of a lot of RBN listeners and whatnot. I never heard a word. He just let me do absolutely whatever I wanted. And then, you know, a year or two into it, he offered me a second hour, which unfortunately I couldn't take. I never met him. I was hoping to meet him on January 6th. I was trying to, you know, work that out between you and between Mike, trying to get make it so that we'd be able to meet. But, of course, everything fell apart on January 6th, so that never happened. So I never met John in person. And didn't have a whole lot of conversations with him, but I did get a call from him, I guess, a couple of years ago, and I was driving across the country, and I think he wanted to ask me if I could cover his show the next day, something like that. And he said, "Well,
hey, Patrick, you broke up."
He said, "Where are you?" I said, "Sandusky, Ohio." He said, "Oh! Yes, that's where he was from." So it was quite a coincidence. But I mean, the thing is that, so I'm not going to claim that I had a close relationship with him, because I really didn't know him very well. I listened to his show, and I'm sure that he heard my show from time to time. But the fact of the matter is, he really, really, he really was devoted to free speech. And you know, I don't think he would have had an Antifa come on and given him free reign, but knowing that we're on the same team, but people on the same team can have all sorts of different ideas, and he really was committed to that free speech.
It has been a great network of free speech. I've only been on the network for just a little over a year on my own show. Now, you know, you and I've co-hosted with you for maybe 3 years. And I've had about maybe four or five private conversations with John. I didn't know him personally. I've never met him. But he's the kind of straight shooter. If you will talk straight with him, it feels like I knew him for decades, just in those few conversations that I had with him, the way that we talked. You know how you call up an old friend and you can dispense with the pleasantries and you just get down to business? That's what the conversations were like that I had with John. And mm-hmm. I'll never forget that. You mentioned the January 6th rally. Mike has a clip ready to roll. And this is John calling into my show on January 5th. And it's a very, very good call. We were talking about how, you know, the Proud Boys were agent provocateurs. And we'll just let you listen to the call if you want to roll that mic, and then we'll do some comments on it.
And we have John Stantmiller. Welcome to the show, sir. You have some on-the-ground reporting for us.
Actually, I'm alongside of a highway here going into Roanoke, Virginia, and I just had to call in. Claims are being made that the militia is going to Washington, D.C. to disarm people and there's going to be violence. I don't think so.
Well, that's what the mainstream media would like us to believe. Like I said, they want so bad for this to be another Charlottesville that they can demonize. But I think it's going to be too many people and too many patriots with the president himself there. I don't think they're going to be able to pull that off. Those were the fears of at least a few of our callers there.
In that prior incident, wasn't it the Proud Boys that were there as well?
Yes.
What is Proud the Boys. Point? Why don't we just get the full-fledged neo-Nazis out there with swastikas? And let's throw the logs on the fire so the media can finish burning the rest of us down. I don't think people are getting this at all. I don't think, Jeremy, they understand how they're being played. And I don't think people that are involved in this have enough experience to even voice an opinion. I've been around a lot of years, and I've seen a lot of things.
There were many people at Charlottesville that were there for good intentions. And, there were people there that defended themselves against the Antifa and BLMs, and they were arrested. But what I found interesting was there was a couple of people there with Nazi flags, and you never heard anything about them. They weren't doxxed. Maybe agent provocateurs, what do you think?
Jeremy, were they looking for 15 minutes of fame? Do they think they're going to be doing anything by clashing with BLM or Antifa to give the media, as I said, another log to throw on the fire to burn us down with? They need to walk away from them. They're a bunch of buffoons.
Yes.
To constantly get in their face is not productive for anybody.
No, absolutely is not.
I'm looking at these Proud Boys. And I'm seeing special forces guys. I'm seeing federal agents. It's the same damn thing that happened before. I've seen this before, man. And I'm telling you, the one thing I want to accomplish, I want to find out where these Proud Boys are at in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to go talk to them. I want to know what they're thinking, why they're doing what they're doing, and how they're doing it. I mean, burning a BLM flag, seriously? What's the point? Except to aggravate the hell out of them and just exacerbate the situation and make it worse. Smile at them and walk on. They're nothing.
Yes, absolutely true. And I've had that feeling for a long time. I mean, it is so odd that the leader of the Proud Boys was just arrested. I mean, that whole thing seems really hokey to me. They're really trying to set you guys up down there. I mean, bad.
I don't believe that's the case. I don't think, look, they're going to try to disrupt as they have been for how long now? Let them burn themselves up. Let them burn the house down. I don't care. To engage these people is to give them some sort of convoluted credibility.
Absolutely correct.
Jeremy, I told you the story about Babs Wilson. Did I not?
You did.
Keep that in mind, yep. Please. Hey, look, I got to get back on the road. I'm only in Roanoke. I got miles to go here before I sleep.
We're praying for you guys, John. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with all of you that are down there as American patriots.
quieter heads will prevail in Washington, D.C. I'm looking for maybe 3 million plus to show up there. No matter what happens after tomorrow, this might be our last stand here. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Thanks, Jeremy.
Appreciate it, John. Appreciate all you guys. So let's be in prayer for our Patriots and for our very own RBN people that are down there.
Yeah, that was the call from John. Hey, Patrick, someone came to the door. Let me get your comments on this real quick. I'm going to answer the door, and then we'll take some calls.
Okay. Well, you can see there. I mean, he had the situation pretty well figured out. You know, the Proud Boys, they weren't really playing a good role. There was they had FBI informant as their leader, and that they were part of what made this whole debacle. You know, the only question really remains regarding the Proud Boys is, you know, how many of them knew that they were really working for the feds and against the president and against the Republic, and how many of them were just duped into it. I would think there'd be mainly people just kind of duped into it, but that's a really sad chapter. Are you back, Jeremy?
Yeah, and it's interesting that John recognized these people. I mean, you notice how he said he noticed special forces and feds there in that group, and he recognized that they were subversive to the legitimate protests that happened on January 6th. That's what I thought was very remarkable. The day before all of this just unfolded, his instincts were razor sharp, and you know, that call just always resonates with me because I felt honored that he called my show. I think that's the only time he ever called my show. And so that means he was listening, you know, on the way down. And we had some callers call in, and we were talking about how January 6th was going to go down and how it wasn't and this, that, and the other. And he felt the need to call and weigh in. And that always stuck in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't take calls that often. He didn't call into my show, but he invited me on once as a guest, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Hey, we're coming up on the break, and I think that the calls are piling up. If any of you callers want to call in and weigh in on your memories of John and to pay tribute, then please do. Let's see, Mike sent us a message. I think we're going through the breaks is what it looks like. If that's so, Mike, then you can bring on our first caller. All right, Bruce from Texas.
Hello?
Hey, Bruce.
Hello, Jeremy. Hello, Patrick.
How you guys doing?
All right.
Hello.
Hey, that's a very very good points you made there, Patrick. These guys get, you know, you don't know what you're joining. I was tempted to join the Proud Boys myself, you know, because you want to, these people that are doing violence in the street, you want to defend your community, you know, and you want to defend your nation. So, you know, we can't blame all of them. But, yeah, you got to be aware. My last conversation with John was about 2 weeks ago, and it was about the Oklahoma City false flag bombing. And I brought up something I think he wasn't aware of, or maybe he heard of it and forgot, but there was a certain individual that is embedded in the Elohim City named Andrea Straussmeyer. Have you all ever heard of him?
No, I haven't. Have you, Patrick?
No, not me either.
Yeah. You can find them in WikiSpooks. If you look up OKC WikiSpooks, you'll be able to find there's a little bit of information on him. Basically, he was just like a forerunner of the Dancing Israelis. But he was an embedded agent. He was he worked himself in there, and he was a neo-Nazi, quote-unquote. And he was a weapons expert, bomb maker, what have you. And he was ushered out of the country after the bombing. He was allowed to leave. Don't suspect that he was John Doe number two. And that's just an example of how the government, how these, and I think also the ADL was involved with Elohim City too. Now, that's how they instigate, but they also want to shut down. And John built an organization and a network unlike any other, in my opinion. There's one that's close, Revolution Radio, but the way he had this thing organized was just tremendous. And I heard Jonathan Greenblatt say that podcasting is raising anti-Semitism and it needs to be shut down. And so this is my advice to you. I never put things mildly. I always put things as honestly as I see them. Maybe not the most eloquently, but I think if you listen to what I say, at least, you know, you see where I'm coming from. Okay. And so how do I put this? Now that there's a huge power vacuum in the network, and this is a big fish, a big target in their sights, I believe, you all need to keep your eyes and ears open as to what happens in the coming days, weeks, and months. And communicate with the other show hosts more than you do. A lot of show hosts, I notice, don't listen to the other shows, you know. Well, maybe it takes a lot of time to set up a podcast, I know that, to do the research. And then you're on the air for 1, 2, or 3 hours. But at least email each other, get to know each other. And if something, if this goes pear-shaped, if someone wants to take and water it down or misdirect it or shut it down, quit or raise the, you know, start leaking information, do something, because I don't want to see RBN destroyed. I'm sure John wouldn't want to see that happen. And God bless John Stattmiller. God bless the both of you and everybody else who's fighting on the side of right. And that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce.
Say, or do you want to take the next call?
No, thanks, Bruce. I do have some comments, and we'll kick it to Patrick. I mean, it is very essential for all the hosts and the engineers to be in communication, and that's something that Steve brought up on the National Intel Report earlier today, is that we're going to be all be in communication. You know, as we all know, I think we all know, Farron Shoaf was visited by the FBI earlier in the summer. And he took a little bit of a break. He had that going on and some other personal issues with family that he had to take care of. But the FBI showed up at his house. And there's nothing more that the system would like to do than to isolate us and to push fear and intimidation on us to try to stop speaking the truth. But Farron called me, I called John, and we sort of got a little network going on there. You know, and now Farron's back. And that's what we need. We need to be in touch with each other to not let this go away. If the FBI comes to your house, don't give them anything. Give them nothing and call your local sheriff. And if we're all in communication with each other, you know, we can help each other. If there's a show that's being put on hold for a few months, the host can come in and fill in for them. Anyway, Patrick, what do you got on this? And we'll move on.
Well, that's basically it. There are a lot of hosts, and it's impossible to be in touch with everyone, but we've certainly got, I'm in touch with you and Richard Carey and Paul Stevenson. You're in touch with a fair number of people. And so at least there's a grapevine that gets around. When this happened, I got a call from Julie. It was about 90 minutes before my show started, about, I guess, 11:30 Central Time. And, you know, when I got the call, it's like, obviously there's a shock, even though I didn't know John personally that well. You know, he was somebody I certainly, you know, I listened to his show and had a great deal of respect for him. And I think that always showed, because, you know, I think that always showed, but it's not even 12 hours yet. And it seems like, the RBN community is rallying around, and there's a determination to make sure that John's legacy carries on and becomes more relevant than ever.
Yeah, that's. I'm live tonight. You know, Steve was live. I'm pretty sure Mike was live earlier today at the 3 p.m. Central show. Yeah, he was. He was, because he was talking about current events. So it's going on. It's going on. And that's what John would have wanted. Hey, let's move on to more callers before the bottom of the hour. We got Gregory from California. Gregory, are you there?
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Gregory, you're on the air.
I missed what's going on. It seems to me that John Stadtmiller is no longer on this plane.
John Stadtmiller passed away today.
Man, the only day I didn't listen to RBN, that's most discerning. Most, well, it is what it is, I suppose. I was calling to find out about Chris from Las Vegas, and now I hear another disparaging voice of truth. Because
yeah,
I haven't called
I'm not
in
sure
a
about,
long time.
I'm not sure about Chris. Mike, if you have information on Chris from Las Vegas, I heard there was something that happened with that caller.
Yeah,
you want to text me back?
Chris from Las Vegas passed away several months ago.
Okay.
I got that. Yes. So, the only thing I've got to say about this is that we are fighting for live, L-I-V-E, against E-V-I-L. And that's pretty much what it spells out. So, yeah, I can see why they dispatched John. I know that they're trying to dispatch me. Because every time I call you guys, I lose a teeth or two. It's really dystopic what we're going through right now. So, anyways...
Well, yeah, and then, you know, the radio show will go on and the truth spreading will go on. That's the takeaway. Hey, we're coming up on a little bit of a break. Appreciate the call, Gregory, and we'll be back on the other side with more calls.
There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Percentage that
In Plain Sight with the dynamic duo doing a tribute to John Statmiller, True American Patriot, here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And we're going next for we got many calls piling up here, so you guys pay your tribute to John, and we'll try to get through all of you. Chance from West Virginia is the next. Chance, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello, Jeremy. Hello, Patrick. I heard Roanoke mentioned in that clip there. I'm in southern West Virginia, and that's only about an hour and a half drive south from where I'm at. Oh, and also, I was told that Mark from Texas asked about me, and I'd like to thank him for that. The reason I called Jeremy, you know, and I've been so overwhelmed with all the, in my own personal life, I've seen so many deaths in the last 6 to 7 years. And I cheated death myself, and I beat the odds against cancer 16 years ago. But the price I paid was watching all the people I cared about pass away who were at that time there for me, you know? And there's so many times I ask myself why. You know, it humbled me in my quieter moments alone when I think about it. And guilt creeps in because I don't know the answer or the reason why, you know, but I suspect one day I'll find out why, you know. I guess when you get older, this is what you see. We all see this in our life. And as a matter of fact, my baby brother, I don't know if you remember, he passed away a year ago. In a few weeks, it'll be a year. And then hearing about John, and I'm just wondering, I guess in my case, my particular case, I'm sure there's other people who probably feel this way also, you find yourself watching people that you cared about and loved pass away one by one, and it gets to be a bit overwhelming, you know what I mean? Jeremy?
Yeah. The scriptures say that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment.
But, you know, when you watch all the people you cared about, and here, by all rights, I should have been the one that passed, you know, a while back. And like I said, you try to find an answer to this. Why am I still here and everybody I cared about is gone? And it's hard to reconcile that fact. It's hard to make sense of it. I'm sure there's a reason, but and I'm sure there's other people who feel that way. And it gets a little bit taunting, you know, a little bit overwhelming. And you look for an answer.
From a Christian perspective, I mean, God may have some plan for your life. You know,
I realize that, but by the same token, it's the guilt. You get a personal guilt inside. There's, well, I guess, you know, we all pay a price, but that's just one thing I wanted to point out. Bring up, and I'm sure there's many other people who are listening that probably feel that way too, that have been in that situation, you know. But, well, I don't know what to say. That's all I wanted to say, Jeremy. You understand what I'm saying, I hope, right?
Yes. People that die, and you don't know why, and it, look, again, all I can do when it comes to death is come from my Christian perspective, and that God has a path aligned for us. And that if you're here, you know, he wants you to believe on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but also he wants you to do something great for him. And that's why you're still here.
But see, I think about is the price I'm paying watching all my loved ones pass on. It's at times it's a heavy price to pay when you think about it in your quieter moments, you know. It's some kind of guilt sets in and you wonder why. It's as a matter of fact, at times it can be more overwhelming than if you would have passed yourself. It's a test. It seems to be like a test of strength or a test of fortitude, I guess. I don't know. I just wanted to bring that point up because that's where I'm at. With each passing death, it seems I think about that more and more. And it's kind of tough, kind of tough. Well, Jeremy, thank you for taking my call now, and God bless you, and keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, Chance. God bless you, sir. Let's move on to Andy from Texas. Andy, welcome to the show.
Well, hey, thanks, Jeremy and Patrick. This is a terrible day. We should be talking about a whole lot of other things, but the man, the legend, if you will, he put together a platform so that you, as a commentator or whatnot, you could say what you wanted to say. You could get people involved in this conversation, and the phone calls are screened. Everything was just perfect. I hope this doesn't change. John Passon doesn't change the platform. Maybe it will a little bit here and there, but I hope it really doesn't change. I've had many conversations with John. Sometimes he gets mad and he's like, where the hell are the phone callers? And are you people asleep out there? And that's my cue to call in. He wants to talk to somebody, you know. And there was times when he did. He just wanted to talk to somebody. But John just had a way of putting it out there. I'll never forget the show that he put out there all he did for the entire show is list all, for 2 hours, he listed all the people that were Jews in our government, in everything that was running. That's all he did. He spent 2 hours, and he would, this guy, that guy, all these
and
guys.
He wasn't
and
even halfway was, finished either. He wasn't even halfway exactly. finished, I'm sure.
Yeah, he couldn't finish it. I actually had to hear it again because I halfway didn't believe that some of the movie stars and stuff were Jews. You know, I had to listen to it again. Look, hey, John's going to be sorely missed, but the one thing he gave us that's flipping wonderful, I wanted to say another word, but he did give us a free speech platform. We get to speak our word when we come on here. You do not stream this stuff. He gave us, and he struggled hard to do that. And that's all I got, Jeremy. Get to the next guy.
Thanks a lot, my friend. Let's move on to the next caller.
John knew that neither he nor anyone else has all the answers. But by having a free speech platform like this, where people can come and hash through things intelligently, that's the way we make progress.
Totally agree, man. Hey, let's move on to the next caller, Murr from Wisconsin. Murr, welcome to the show.
Greetings. Hey, my first call back to the same people I talked to on my last call to RBN on June 22nd. Yeah, some misunderstandings, and I think if we had a do-over, John overreacted to. I thought we were kibitzing around saying about brainwashing because Steve was throwing out things about the cave, and all I wanted to do was to say this, and this being your health and wellness night as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I will read this. This is a do-over. And actually, Jeff Rentz read it live on air on July 23rd, but this was what I was trying to get across. Complete protein means amino acids included too. All of the essential 9 amino acids, and in parentheses, the body makes the other 11, are in a combination of beans or legumes and grains and nuts. My point was for y'all and your listeners, complete protein in this way may be available when meat may not be. Another tool for your knowledge toolkit. And when Jeff Rentz read it, I had sent it because of Stefan Verstappen. He was on tonight again, too. K kept saying about canned, you know, beans and pork and bacon and ham and whatever. And, you know, and I know Jeff's a vegan, and I was surprised that he read it, though, but I thought that was very interesting. But this is important to know, because you may not always have meat, and there's things you can put together. And the interesting thing about it is the beans or legumes and the grains don't even have to be eaten at the same time. They can be eaten like a day or so apart, and they'll still get together. That's how marvelously and wonderfully we're made, right? And that bit you played from January 5th, I called in after later that night, too. And I found out this morning, now, we already have networks all over, not just RBN, but like I just mentioned, Jeff Rentz, and he gave a good tribute to John tonight, too, at the top of his show. But I heard in live time as it was happening from, well, he calls in RBN, too, but it was on Roger Sales' show, and there's a Jitsi board. They don't have any commercials, and we hash out about being a national, and this is what everyone should do. Change your status from citizen to national. You can do that. You need to look into that, everyone. So, because it really doesn't help you to do anything else until you do that, because we live in a feudal system for generations. That's how it is. But anyway, I learned in live time what was going on. I couldn't believe it. You know, so that was
Jeff Rentz. You said Jeff Rentz did a tribute to John? Jeff Rentz did a tribute to John on the show tonight?
Yes, he did. Top of the show. Very nice one.
Yeah, you guys can check that out on the archive. So, yeah, appreciate it. I'm not sure how much communication Jeff and John had, but that's awesome that Jeff did that tribute. Appreciate the call, Merv. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's go to Mark from Texas. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Mark.
What a sad day. So sad day. You know, I first listened to RBN, I think it was 16:30 a.m. at a Dallas-Fort Worth. And I don't know if it was in, I don't remember when it was, late 90s, early 2000s, but, you know, I've learned so much from RBN, the host, the callers, I don't know what to say, but condolences to the Stadtmiller family.
Thank you, Mark.
And I just want to say, John, thank you for a job well done. And that's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for your heartfelt call, my friend. Always appreciate it. And moving on, we got Ken from New York. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Patrick. I listened to Don Campbell a little earlier, and I mentioned to him that I found it interesting that today is the Guy Fawkes Day.
Guy Fawkes?
November. Yeah, that was the... You familiar with it?
No. Give us a...
Well, it was... The movie was... V for Vendetta was sort of patterned after it, but... Guy Fawkes was a soldier that tried to blow up the English Parliament in 1605. And I said, how fitting, because John wanted to blow up the Federal Reserve, so to speak.
Yeah.
Very easy way to remember. It's remember that day in November, or remember the 5th of November. It's quoted several different ways. They call it Bonfire Day in England.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
Life will go on eventually.
Yeah, life's going on here. We're continuing the broadcasts. It's going to keep going.
And I will continue to support as I can.
And, I'm understanding that we're holding off on donations for just a little bit.
Yeah, I know about
the legalities. Yeah. The legalities are settled for the other listeners.
I have to settle the estate first.
We'll announce. Collectors.
Yeah, everybody's
yeah. We'll announce up. Yeah. Whenever we're ready to go back full force. We'll announce that. So, you know, please, if you want to keep this going and keep John's legacy alive and what he started, you know, sit on those donations for a bit, and then we'll go back full force here pretty soon. Yeah. So thanks a lot, Ken.
Put them into a cookie jar. And then have that cookie jar handy when it's time.
Capital idea.
Can't go wrong. Yep. Can't go wrong with the cookie jar. Thanks a lot, Ken. Appreciate it. Tony from Chicago. Tony, welcome to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, man. You know, I mourn his death. But you're not going to like what I have to say. Okay, this man gave us an avenue for resistance, along with TLB Talk, and along with Fair and Shove. And people don't take advantage of this, because people on here are doing nothing. Okay? Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
Right? Okay, I don't know what type of white people you are out there, but you are doing nothing. The FBI showed up at Sharon Fair and Shove's. I'm stunned, and I've been outspoken on the show. They never came here, so you know I'm lucky that happened. That these people that are part of this network have taken this risk in their life, and the rest of you people don't do nothing. Okay, I was out on the Ford plant. I've been trying to push to get the hell out there and start an uprising against this Jew tyranny. You people do nothing. And that's all I have to say. Because this is a disgrace. We're at the end of the line. This is not a joke, man. They're going to stick a needle in your arm. Yeah. And Jeremy, I'm not dumping on you personally. You live in a small area in Kentucky. So even if you wanted to do it, I mean, you're doing the show. But these people in the big cities and the big areas, you need to mix it up, because if you don't, it's over with. And this is not a joke. I mean, the man lived for the resistance to the Jew world order. This is happening now. So that's all I can say. You want a vaccine passport on your hand? Just sit there and do nothing. And that's what I had to say in the memory of John Stadmiller. And the resistance of Fair and Shove, who has really given me a fair shake on the show. And that stuns me that they were actually at that man's house. Okay, thanks a lot, buddy. I'm done.
Thanks, Tony. Tony's on the streets. He's pounding the pavements with signs. He's out there taking the flak. What are you people doing? Very assailant points. Patrick, do you have anything on this?
Yeah. Well, if the feds show up, you don't talk to them because there's nothing, absolutely nothing to be gained from talking to them. And the most innocent thing you say, they can misreport. They can say that you... Even if it was unintentional, if they say you said something incorrect, then you're lying to the FBI. And look what's happening to all these hundreds of people in jail in Washington, D.C. under torturous conditions.
I do live in a small town, and we're sheltered here. But, you know, myself and about 200 other parents went to a school board meeting, and we said, we're not doing the mask. And teachers and students, to the tune of 100-plus students and about 5 teachers and faculty, walked off of the school grounds. And this particular county in West Kentucky did not mandate the mask because of that. And thousands of other parents in Kentucky went to their school boards and did the same thing. And our legislature cut the legs out from under Bashir the governor of Kentucky, and the state Supreme Court backed them. And so your activism has a role, and it is effective no matter where you're at.
And the school board movement grew and spread and has taken down Terry McAuliffe. And maybe you could say these baby steps, but they are steps in the right direction.
And there are people like Tony out there pounding the pavement, doing the protests, and that's what you got to do. You can't just listen. Please donate. Listen, donate, and get out there and do something. That's the message. Very good call. Let's move on to our next callers. Let's see. We got Lloyd. Hey, Mike, we got Lloyd from Arizona. Lloyd, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks. I just wanted to give some kudos to John and everything you guys do, because there isn't anywhere on the radio or, I mean, on the internet, I don't know. I'm not an internet expert. I got a flip phone, you know, but the internet, it's hard to find. I used to like YouTube, but it's hard to find things that, you know, you can't sniff out as being propaganda or, you know, some sort of disinformation. You guys at RBN are really, I mean, it's like you can call in. I mean, I know for a fact, because I can call in and just say whatever I want, you know? I mean, I don't even agree with most of the stuff y'all say. You know, I'm more of a libertarian. I don't believe in borders. I don't believe in government at all. But, you know, we agree that smaller government's better than big government. You know, that's the main focus, I think, that everyone on here believes. Small local government, you can go to your school board, you know, easier than you can go to D.C. So that's the key. I think that's the key point that we all agree on. Are we going to get no government? No, we're never going to get to that point. You know, I think that we should, but we're not. That's not going to happen. So we have to work together, and we have to realize that all the different, and come on, Jews, that's a religion and a bloodline. Come on. The Jews did it. I mean, that's just so ignorant. These people are in secret societies. They don't give a shiz about Jews.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we do agree on the fundamental things.
But see, point, man. I can say things that you guys don't agree with, and it's, you know.
Well, yeah, and then we can retort. We can retort, and we can retort and say, well, look who Biden has appointed in his cabinet. They're almost entirely Jews, like 90% Jews. And they're not religious Jews. You know, they're ethnic Jews. Jews is
ethnic Jews,
That's what they say.
And there's, but, you know, it's not all, right? Is it not? Is it all or is it some?
No, we've had some Jews call into the show. Josh from New York is a Jew, and he doesn't like the way that his Jewish community is going. And so that's the great thing about this.
So it's not the Jews.
As a whole, it is.
To me, it's a group.
The majority means the whole.
So to me, it's a group dynamic. And if to take the average individual Jew, their role in that group dynamic is might seem rather minor and is probably even rather unconscious. For most, it's probably their presence. They help stifle discussion of Jewish power. It's just by their presence.
It's the culture they grow up in. That's what they're.
It's nothing that you would punish them for, but there is a kind of responsibility. Yeah. And you know, we've all grown up in an environment where we're told that white people are responsible for this and for that, and we don't get
right.
We don't get bent out of shape by them simply saying that we're responsible for things, but we do get bent out of shape when we have our republic taken away, when we're imprisoned, when we're demonized, when we are flooded with a foreign invasion. Those are the things that we get bent out of shape, but we didn't get bent out.
We had racist attacks. I'm with you. Like, I'm with you on that. Why can't we say white power when they say black power? It's insane. That's insane.
Good point.
You know?
Hey, appreciate it, Lloyd. We're at the end of the show. Thank you to all of the callers. Thanks, Patrick, for coming on. And to honor a true American patriot, John Stattmiller. Man, he will be missed. You guys try to have a great weekend, and we'll be back on Monday night. Patrick, thanks a lot, my friend. Stay classy.
Thank you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.